During Advent, we see God's love for us embodied in our Savior's birth.
Christ is our light and the source of everlasting love.
Advent calls us to love others with patience and kindness.
Christ is our light and the source of our everlasting love.
Advent calls us to be slow to anger and quick to forgive.
Christ is our light and the source of everlasting love. Christ is our light and the source of everlasting love.
This morning we light 4 candles, the candles of hope, peace, joy, and today's candle, love. This candle reminds us that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting. Today we celebrate God's gift of love and remember that we have been commanded to love others as God loves us.
Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, as we continue this, our Advent journey, we are reminded that love did come down at Christmas, love that's so amazing and so divine. You love the world enough to send your Son, and now it's up to us to love others as you have loved us. Remind us that Christ is our light and the true source of infinite, everlasting, pure love. We ask this in Christ's name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
So I have to start with just a couple jokes, and I'll tell you what, there are not many shepherd's jokes out there. That's our theme for today. So here's kind of what fits, so we're going to go with it. And they're all in a pun format. So what happened to the thief who stole the Christmas calendar? He got 12 months. They don't get any better. What did the sheep say to each other Christmas? So two sheep are talking. What did they say? Merry Christmas to you. E-W-E, right? Get it? Okay, and the last one. What did the sheep say to the shepherd at Christmas? Season's bleedings. I think it's time for the sermon, don't you? Yes, and you were waiting for that. And that's what Advent's all about. Advent's about waiting. It's about watching and waiting for the next great thing that would come. It's like you're sitting at home, and you're waiting for the publisher's clearinghouse to call you, and you're waiting, waiting. Well, Advent's us waiting, but for something greater than someone showing up at your door with a big check. We're waiting for the greatest of all news, a Savior being born. That's why we have Advent, those 4 weeks that exist before Christmas, so that we can get our hearts prepared for the greatest birth of all time. As a result of that, this season, I've had the opportunity for us to look at the different parts of the story. And the first part of the story we've looked at is that God had a plan. The moment we humans decided to stray off the path, the moment we humans decided we were going to go our own way, you could call that sin, exactly what it is, that we decided we're going to be Lord of our universe and not God, God had a plan. And the plan didn't involve more education. We already have enough. And it still makes us less than civilized. God didn't bring an economist to tell us how to make money. We're good at that, but it doesn't make us any more moral. God didn't send any other entity into our lives because any other entity cannot change our heart. So God in His plan sent what we needed, which is a Savior, so that we can become moral individuals because we've had a heart change. That's part one of the sermon series. Part two was, where was this Savior going to be born? It's easy to say, oh yeah, Savior's been born somewhere. No, God, as part of the planning aspect, said where the Savior would be born. So that we could check it out. So that we could see not only God as a planner, but there's no doubt that a Savior was to be born because God told us 600 years earlier, through the prophet Micah, it would be born in Bethlehem. And just so you cannot mistake it was being born, where being born, He told us which Bethlehem. The one in Judea. And so the Christ was born there. Last week, I didn't preach. Thank you, choir. I appreciate the opportunity to just sit and worship. And they sang the cantata, which they were wonderful. The cantata's name was All Is Well. How appropriate, as we look towards Christmas Day, that all is well when we find Jesus Christ as Savior. Today, we're looking at the first visitors that came to the stable. We're looking at the shepherds. Now, God has this unique love for shepherds. In fact, across the ages, who did God minister to time and time again? Who did God minister through time and time again? It was shepherds. One of the original stories we have, all the way back in Genesis chapter 6, Noah. He's a shepherd. And then God's call to the people came through Abraham, a shepherd. Through his son Isaac, a shepherd. Through Jacob, he was a shepherd. His 12 sons were all shepherds. Joseph with that many technicolor coat, he was a shepherd. And we could run down through the list. Moses was a shepherd. His father-in-law, Jethro, was a shepherd. Amos, one of the great prophets, was a shepherd. And the greatest of all kings in the nation of Israel, King David, began as a shepherd. God loves shepherds. Now, just so we're clear what a shepherd is and what a shepherd is not. In that day and time, shepherds were the ones who owned the sheep and they watched over the sheep. A sheep herder might have been hired to watch the sheep but was not invested in the sheep because did not own them. If a lion came, of which they did have them in those day and times, if a wolf came, which they did have them, or a bear came in that day and time, the sheep herder goes, huh, not my problem, not my sheep. And off the sheep herder went. The shepherd, however, said, "This is my problem. These are my sheep. I'm going to protect them." In fact, in Psalm 23, David gives us an idea. With the rod and the staff, they will protect the sheep. That's what the shepherd's all about. Now, why does God pick shepherds then? Because God is like them. Or they're like God. As shepherds are fully invested in their sheep and will protect them, will guard them, will guide them, so God is fully invested in us. Because God made us very unique. We're not like the rest of the created world. Oh no, we're not made after our own kind, like cows and dogs and sheep. No, we're made after God Himself. God's so fully invested in us, He made us in the image and according to His likeness. God's so fully invested in us, we're formed in the love that God has for us humans. So God as creator means these people are mine. And God says He's the shepherd. Just like sheep that stray, though, when we stray off the path, when we decide to go our own way, God's sad. God's troubled. God sends people to bring us back. God sends words. God sends help so that we can get back on the path. Like the shepherd who left the 99 to go seek that one sheep out there, so God sends for us when we get off the path. If you doubt that, behind me every week is a sign that God came for us. We put it in the center of our sanctuary as a visible symbol that God arrived for us, coming specifically for us because God loves us. That's the sign of the cross. God came in the form of Jesus, in the person of Jesus, to die on the cross so that we can have that relationship restored back to God. And then we Presbyterians, as a visible reminder of that, we put a circle around that cross to show God's love is endless. You know, in our area, we now have those roundabouts everywhere. Seems, you know, sometimes I miss my turn. I admit it. I'm kind of daydreaming. It's frightening when you think I'm driving daydreaming. I know you do it too, okay? And I'm driving going, whoop, there's my turn. And if you stayed on the circle, guess what? There is no end to a circle. You have to get off. And so that's the kind of love God says to us. It's a circle kind of love, endless kind of love. That's what God has for us. So God is a visible reminder in the world today of God's love for us. He shows us shepherds. But somewhere along the line, shepherds got a bad rap. Somewhere along the line, their reputation gets broken. In fact, in the Mishnah, by the way, is the oral tradition of the book of Leviticus, just to give you an easy way of understanding it. Like Leviticus says, do not work on the Sabbath. The Mishnah tells you, what is work on the Sabbath? Okay, gives you an idea about that. Well, in the Mishnah, it says that shepherds are incompetent. In the Mishnah, it says that if a shepherd fell into a hole, good people are not obligated to dig them up out of the hole. The Mishnah says, do not buy wool from shepherds. You know why? They could have stolen it from somewhere else. And so the view, as we move into the days of Jesus, is that shepherds are criminals. They're thieves. They have bad reputation. Let me give you a story. By the way, this is always in honor of Jeffrey. A joke in the middle of a sermon. Jeffrey said, you know, you can keep my attention if you tell a joke in the middle. So in honor of Jeffrey, you tell him. You remember this for him, okay? Maybe that'll make him feel better to play Joseph tonight. Okay. So it was late December, and a court judge was feeling really good because it's Christmas, right? And he wanted to let everybody off if possible. And up before him comes a man, and the judge said, well, what are you accused of? And the man, defending himself, said, I'm accused of having done my Christmas shopping too early. And the judge said, too early? There's no crime in that. And the man smiled and he said, well, the stores weren't open at the time. That's the view of shepherds, is that they're thieves, is that they're criminals. That's not the first time we humans have not been on the right page with God. Because God calls shepherds. It's true They were at the bottom of the economic ladder. That's true. It's true they lived for their sheep because that's where their soul investment is. It's true that from month to month and year to year, they weren't putting anything in the bank because they were putting it back into their sheep. When we were in Israel a year ago, in October, we got a chance to see the Bedouins. They're modern-day shepherds. And as we were riding, we did this in the bus, you could see their community. The sheep were all on the hillside, very picturesque, except when you look what they lived in. It looked like a shack city. Like they gathered things from the different parts of the town, and they put together this makeshift building that they lived in. In the heat and the cold, the rain and the sun. And interesting that shepherds are what God has called us to lift up, even though we, in terms, don't always give them a good reputation. You know, God says that kings are to be like shepherds. Government officials are supposed to be like shepherds because they take care of the people. Pastors are supposed to be like shepherds because we take care of the people. David highlighted this, that a shepherd is what God actually is. That a shepherd's a simple taste of the amazing picture of God. And you know how I know this? That's Psalm 23. When David said, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he runs down through all the areas of which we may have need, and God is there for us. That was Summer's Bible. That was Summer's sermon series, by the way. But God's there when we're tired. God's there when we're fearful. God's there when we need protection. When we have enemies, God's there. And when we come to the end of our life, goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life, because we'll dwell in the Lord's house forever. Now, the greatest of all events up to this time that we have in recorded history, the birth of a Savior, the first group that got called to come and see, wasn't the king in Jerusalem. It wasn't the merchant in town. It wasn't the innkeeper in Bethlehem. Who was the first that was told about the birth of Jesus? It was shepherds. The angel came to them. That was the message I read earlier. And the angel's message is true for us today. That great news has arrived of a great joy. It's for us, which is all people. For unto us is born a Savior. That's Christ the Lord. Now the shepherds found where? The city of David, Bethlehem. And what to look for? A newborn baby. And where would that baby be laid? Not in a hospital. Not in a comfy bed. In a manger. And by the way, that's tomorrow night's sermon, the manger. But why shepherds? That has always struck me. Why do shepherds get the first call? Man, after all, they're dirty, smelly, stinky, they cheat, they lie, right? Why shepherds? If anybody needed to hear it, they did. Because they're poor. They're poor in money. They're poor in spirit. The poor in money aspect, we've already talked about. They're living from day to day, week to week, month to month. They need the good news. And I have to admit, when I was doing social work years and years and years ago, I went to people who were doing fairly well, and I went to people who were really low on the economic status, and the people low on the economic status had greater faith than those who were doing well. And the reason for it is, we humans can put a lot of faith in our things. I have a house, I have two cars, I have this, I have that, I have a new iPhone. I do, by the way. My old iPhone died. I was lost. So I got a new one. I have a new iPhone. It's in my pocket right now. I'm kind of proud of it. You have to ask me later to see it. But anyway, we can put a lot of trust in our things. And the problem with that is when our things go, we have nothing to put our faith in. This year, the Weather Channel 2018 this is a disaster series, right? How many people lost everything? And when those people come and they look at their homes, some are like, "I can do this." They're the ones who have faith because they didn't invest everything in this life. It's invested in the Almighty God. That's what shepherds were all about. Shepherds were also poor in spirit. Remember, if everyone's saying you're bad, 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 these are the outcasts of life. These are the ones that life have been crushed. They've been crushed by life. that when they walk in this door, like, ooh, shepherds, we're going to put the guard on you and the guard's going to follow you around. They've been outcast. And so as a result of that, they don't have pride to fall back on. They don't have anything to fall back on because everyone said, you're bad. So what do they have? They've been crushed by life. And what the Bible calls that? Being poor in spirit. That life sucked the life out of you. And the end result is, what do you have to stand up for and with? Jesus even said this. In the first of the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Notice that. Why did God send the message to shepherds first? They've been crushed by life. They're poor in spirit. And what do they get? The picture of what the kingdom of heaven is all about. The birth of a Savior. The last item we look at, why shepherds? Sometimes we prejudge people. Let's be fair. We think if you're this, you've got to be that. If we look at you and we say, bad clothes, bad smell, you're probably stupid as well. And that happens all the time. I'll tell you a story, and it's actually a true story. There was a farmer who signed on to the local community college. The farmer wanted someone there, a student, come out and kind of like be an intern on his property. So the young intern came out, and the intern was filled with all these great ideas. After all, he's going to college, right? And he comes out to a farmer whose boots are dirty, his clothes are dirty. He wears the same hat for the last 30 years. The farmer doesn't know anything. So the young agricultural student comes out to the farmer, and they're walking through the orchard, and the student gets all puffed up with himself and said, you know what? Your methods are all old-fashioned. They're outdated. I've got some new methods for you. I bet you don't get 20 pounds out of any of these apples or these apple trees here. And the farmer said, well, yeah, I reckon you're probably right because these aren't apple trees. This is an orange orchard. Here's the problem. We do this to everyone. We look at you and say, I'm prejudged you. And this is a human thing. That's sad. But that's not what God did for us. These city dwellers in Jerusalem, the city dwellers in Bethlehem, looked out to those country dwellers who lived on the side of a hill and said, they're dumb, they're stupid, they don't know what they want. That's why God went to them. Because they knew what they were looking for. They're looking for transformative life. They're looking for a Savior. Now, this is a picture for us. How do we treat people in our world that's different than us? Norman Vincent Peale, in one of his books, and I didn't write down which book it was, so I apologize. But he says that he was like that when he was little. They came out of a store, he and his father. And as they came out of a store, he saw a beggar there. And you know what beggars are. They're dirty, not shaved, they stink. Not only do they stink on the outside, their breath stinks. And Norman Vincent Peale shrunk behind his father. His dad said, no, this person's made in the image of God just like you are and I am. And so he gave a dollar to his son, Norman Vincent Peale, who then handed it to the beggar. And he said that was transformative for him. If you remember what Norman Vincent Peale was known for, Guidepost is his magazine. He was known for the singular book titled The Power of Positive Thinking. Because he saw not people as they're presented, but as they're seen by God. That we are made in the image. We're made special. We're made according to God's likeness. And as such, we have no excuse for treating a person as they look. We should treat them as God sees them. That's the message of the shepherds. That when the shepherds came, Mary didn't say, ooh, thou stinketh greatly. Remember, Mary's in a stable. It already stinketh greatly. No, what Mary did was she treasured that in her heart because they came to worship the God, the greatest news of all time. A Savior has been born. May we do the same. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord God, that you're a planner and you're an announcer. You tell us where the child will be born. You tell us what the child will look like. And then you have us check it out. You tell us where. What a gift that is. But more importantly than that, you speak to the core of who we are as humans, that we're not to prejudge each other. We're not to prejudge ourselves. That we're all sinners. Oh, we need a gracious God. We're all people in need of someone to love us, not only here on this earth, but from heaven. And we're grateful, Lord God, you sent Jesus to show us not only the way back to you, but show us how to live here on earth. Not only show us how to be good, thank you for Jesus. He makes us good. All because he's a Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Pray. Amen. Pray. Amen. Pray. Amen. Pray. Amen. Pray. Amen. Pray. Amen.